Welcome to the deep dive. You know, for the longest time, when you pictured a software developer, you probably thought of someone just typing away, right? Line after line of code.
Absolutely, that classic image.
Well, that image, it's changing fast. We're really seeing a huge shift in how software actually gets made.
It's a fundamental transformation, really.
And just to give you a sense of how big this is, get this. As of this year, 2025, about a quarter, 25% of Y Combinator startups, they're reporting that AI is generating up to 95% of their code.
95%. It's staggering. AI isn't just a helper anymore. It's a core collaborator.
Exactly. And this big shift, well, it has a name that's catching on everywhere you see it, in Merriam-Webster, Fast Company, TechCrunch. They're calling it vibe coding.
Vibe coding. It sums it up surprisingly well.
So that's what we're diving into today. Think of this as your playbook, your guide to understanding, and importantly, using this transformation. We'll talk strategies, the mindset you need, the tools.
All the practical stuff. How to choose the right LLMs, keep things secure, build that prompt-first habit.
Right. By the end, you'll have the insights to not just, you know, try vibe coding, but to actually lead with it. Ready to jump in?
Let's do it.
Okay. So first things first, vibe coding. What is it fundamentally? If someone's hearing this term for the first time, how do you break it down?
At its heart, vibe coding is basically writing software by talking to an AI using natural language instead of typing every single command yourself.
So less typing, more describing.
Exactly. Instead of spending, say, an hour crafting a React login form, you might just say or type in a prompt, something like, create a responsive login form with user validation in React. You specify the fields, the button.
And the AI just builds it.
It outputs the component, the script, sometimes even larger parts of an application. It's programming through conversation.
Conversational programming, that really changes the developer's role then, doesn't it?
Completely. You shift from being the coder in the traditional sense to more of an orchestrator. You're doing prompt engineering. You're validating the output, overseeing the architecture.
Right. I think Andrej Karpathy had a quote about this.
Yeah. He called it conversational programming. You say things, run things, copy paste things, and it mostly works. You're guiding, refining.
Guiding, refining. Okay. So if we had to boil it down, what are the absolute key aspects people need to get?
I'd say three things. One, natural language goes in, code comes out, thanks to LLMs like GPT-4, Claude, and others.
Right.
Two, it's iterative. Mm-hmm. You prompt, you get code, you test it, you tweak the prompt, you try again. It's a loop. Prompt, code, test, refine.
Prompt, code, test, refine.
Prompt, code, test, refine. Got it. And
right.
Three.
You have less direct manual control over every single line. Which feels weird at first, but it leads to higher abstraction and ultimately much faster development cycles.
That lack of direct control. Merriam-Webster mentioned something interesting there, didn't they? That the developer might not fully grasp how the generated code works and needs to be okay with some ambiguity, maybe even bugs.
That's a really crucial point. And yeah, it can be the sticking point for some developers. You have to accept a certain level of opacity.
So how do you deal with that? Trusting code you didn't write line by line. It's a mindset shift. You focus less on knowing every single variable declaration and more on understanding the system architecture, the component interactions, and whether the output actually meets the requirement of your prompt. You become more of an architect, less of a bricklayer, if that makes sense.
Architect, not bricklayer. I like that. It requires some faith, but the payoff is speed and accessibility.
Huge payoff.
Yeah.
And that accessibility piece leads to maybe the biggest impact. Democratizing software development.
Right, because if you can describe it, you can potentially build it.
Pretty much. Kevin Roos at the New York Times put it perfectly. You don't have to know how to code to vibe code. Think about that. Non-technical founders, designers, domain experts.
They can suddenly build prototypes, maybe even simple apps, just using prompts.
Exactly. It unleashes a whole wave of potential innovation from people previously locked out of creation.
And this isn't just theory, right? The momentum is real. We're seeing money flow in, actual usage.
Oh, absolutely. The numbers are compelling. Look at the funding cursor, Replit. Lovable collectively, they've raised over $100 million. Investors are betting big.
Okay, serious investment.
And the efficiency. GitHub's own research found Copilot users finish tasks about 55% faster. It's a massive productivity boost.
55% faster.
And adoption is widespread. The latest Stack Overflow survey from 2024 showed over 60% of developers are using AI tools weekly. It's not niche anymore. It's rapidly becoming standard practice.
Wow. Okay, so over 60% weekly, this is definitely happening. So for listeners thinking, all right, I need to get on board, what tools make up this new vibe coding toolkit?
Good question. You need the right tools for the job, and they fall into a few categories. First up, AI code assistants.
Like Copilot.
Exactly. GitHub Copilot is the big one, known for that 55% speed boost. These plug into your IDE, VSCode, TechBrains, whatever you use, and give you real-time suggestions, complete functions, find bugs.
So helping you as you type or even before you type.
Precisely. There are others too, like CodeEM or Tab9, often with enterprise features. And then you have the big LLMs like ChatGPT or Codex, which are great for generating longer chunks of code, debugging complex issues, even writing documentation.
Okay, so assistants help within the traditional coding flow. What about tools that change the flow more drastically?
That brings us to conversational IDEs. These are tools where you really talk to the AI to build things. Cursor Composer is a great example. You can describe an app structure, and it scaffolds it out.
So you're literally having a conversation to build the app.
Pretty much. Replit Ghostwriter is another, focusing on full-stack development and deployment through conversation. They often have built-in Git integration, too, so you can push the AI's code right to GitHub. These really lower the barrier to entry.
Making it easier for non-coders, like we talked about.
Definitely. And leaning even further into that are the AI-powered app builders. Think Lovable, Bolt, Wuzard. These are often aimed squarely at non-developers or startups needing an MVP fast.
How do they work? Just prompts again.
Often prompts, yes, sometimes more structured input. Lovable can build apps from business logic descriptions. Wuzard is fascinating. It can turn sketches or UI mockups directly into code.
Wow, sketch to code. That's like magic.
It feels like it sometimes. It's really turbocharging that whole no-code, low-code movement.
Okay, with all this prompting, the quality of the prompt seems absolutely critical. Are there tools specifically for that?
Yes, and they're becoming essential. Prompt engineering tools.
Yes. It,
because garbage prompt in, garbage code out, right?
Makes sense.
Tools like Sonnet help you debug and understand why the AI produced certain code. OpenAI's Playground lets you really experiment and fine-tune prompts. And then you have communities like Promptable or FlowGPT, where people share and discover prompts that work well. They help you build, reuse, and manage your prompts effectively, like a recipe book for coding.
A recipe book for AI coding.
Yeah.
Interesting. Beyond the AI-specific stuff, what about the general tech stack? Are certain languages or frameworks better suited for vibe coding?
That's a great point. Yes, some definitely work better. LLMs generally have stronger support for languages like TypeScript, Python, and JavaScript, mainly due to the vast amount of training data available.
So stick with the popular ones.
Generally, yes. Especially TypeScript. Its type system helps the AI generate more predictable code. For web apps, frameworks like Tailwind CSS, Next.js, and platforms like Firebase or Supabase are often good choices.
Yeah.
Their structure seems easier for AIs to grasp and generate larger, coherent pieces for.
And the foundational stuff. Like managing the code itself.
Oh, absolutely crucial. Git. Use version control from day one. Commit often, especially after getting code from the AI. It's your safety net. And security, use .env files for secrets. Never hard code credentials. Use secret managers if your platform offers them. Basic hygiene, but even more critical now.
Right, basic hygiene. And finally, with AI churning out code, how do you catch errors or, well, weirdness?
Yeah, the hallucinations, as they're sometimes called. That's where debugging and visualization aids come in. You need tools to help review and validate. Copilot can actually help generate test cases now. ChatGPT can be surprisingly good at code review if you prompt it correctly.
Using AI to check AI's work.
Exactly. And you absolutely need static application security testing SAS2 tools. Think SonarKube, SemGrep, SNCC. Run them regularly, especially on AI-generated code, to catch common vulnerabilities automatically.
Okay, that's a solid toolkit. But you mentioned earlier the tools are only part of the equation. There's a whole mindset shift required, right? What does the vibe coding mindset actually involve?
It really is fundamental. The tools are enablers, but you have to change how you approach the whole process. It starts with thinking in prompts, not syntax.
Okay, what does that mean practically?
It means your primary job becomes breaking down requirements into clear, concise, effective prompts for the AI. Instead of thinking about function signatures and variable names first, you think, what instruction do I give the AI? Like, create a responsive nav bar in React with a logo and login button, or write a secure Node.js endpoint for user login using JWT.
So high-level instructions first.
Right. And importantly, prompt one distinct task at a time. Don't ask for the whole world in one go. Prompt, get the code, test it, then move to the next prompt. Iterate.
Prompt, test, iterate. Okay. So once the AI delivers the code based on your prompt, what's the next mental gear shift?
This is huge. Review, don't just generate. Your role transforms into being a code overseer. You absolutely must review the AI's output, line by line if necessary.
Really scrutinize it.
Yes. Ask the AI to explain parts you don't understand. Run tests religiously. Check the logic. Scan for security holes. Diana Hugh from YC said it best. You must still be good at finding bugs. The AI helps, but the buck stops with you.
So the human oversight is critical, which implies you still need strong technical skills, even if you're prompting more than typing.
Absolutely non-negotiable. You have to stay technically grounded. Your core CS knowledge, your understanding of architecture, algorithms, data structures, that's what allows you to effectively guide the AI, spot its mistakes, and make good architectural decisions.
So your fundamentals become even more important in a way.
Precisely. They help you understand the trade-offs, know when the AI is suggesting something suboptimal or just plain wrong. You're the expert guiding the apprentice, even if the apprentice is incredibly fast.
That makes sense. And before you even write that first prompt, is there prep work involved?
Yes. You need to plan first, prompt second. Don't just jump into the LLM immediately. You need to do the upfront thinking. Write a clear product requirements document, or PRD. Sketch out some basic wireframes, even if they're rough. List your dependencies, your tech stack choices, any setup steps needed.
Why is that so important?
Because it gives the AI context. Clear requirements lead to better prompts, which lead to better, more relevant code. It drastically reduces confusion and wasted effort from the AI generating stuff you don't actually need.
Plan first, prompt second. Got it. And once you're in that cycle prompt, code, test, what's the rhythm like?
The rhythm is iterate rapidly. Mm. Embrace that loop. Prompt, test, err, revise it, reprompt. Vibe coding excels here. Catch errors fast. Validate outputs quickly. Don't get bogged down in massive upfront design if the AI can help you explore options quickly.
So fail fast, learn fast.
Exactly. And don't be afraid to throw away AI code that isn't working and start that piece again. The cost of regeneration is low. Iterate. Don't overplan every detail initially.
Okay. And wrapping up the mindset piece, what's the overarching concern we always need to keep in mind?
It has to be prioritizing security and ethics. Always. LLMs can generate insecure code. They might pull in snippets trained on licensed code without attribution. It's your job to safeguard your project and users.
How do you do that effectively?
Run security audits, use SaaS tools. Ask GPT-4 itself to review for flaws. Manage your API keys and secrets diligently. Never commit them. And crucially, never deploy AI-generated code without thorough testing and review. It's about responsible innovation.
Responsible innovation. Okay, so we have the tools, we have the mindset. Let's get into the nitty-gritty. Best practices for vibe coding. How do you execute this well based on what leading devs are doing?
Right, discipline is key. First, plan thoroughly. We touched on this, but really flesh out that PRD. Use AI to help refine it if you want. Create UI wireframes that clarify logic for you and the AI. List dependencies, secrets, tech stack choices before you prompt. Zapier folks emphasize prepping databases and API keys first. Do the prep.
Makes sense. And version control. Still essential.
More essential than ever. Use version control religiously. Get from the start. Commit very frequently, especially after each significant AI generation. Tag commits clearly AI-generated login form. Tools like Cursor integrate with Git. You can even use AI to help write commit messages or review diffs. It's your history and your undo button.
Okay, commit often. When starting a new project, what's the right order? Just ask for the whole UI at once.
Definitely not. You need to start with the core setup first. Get your project environment right. Install the framework, React, Express, whatever. Add your linters, formatters, prettier, ESLint. Scaffold the basic folder structure, maybe define core data models or API endpoints before you ask for complex UI or features.
Why that order?
It prevents the AI from getting confused. If you ask for a feature that relies on a database model that doesn't exist yet, it's going to generate broken or incomplete code. Build a foundation first.
Foundation first. Then, when building features, how do you avoid asking for too much in one prompt?
That's where modular iterative development or prompt chunking comes in. The rule is basically one logical module, one prompt.
Give me an example.
Okay, so you need a login flow. Prompt 1, create a basic React component for a login form with email and password fields. Get that. Test it. Prompt 2, add state management and input validation to the form. Test again. Prompt 3, apply Tailwind CSS for styling. Break it down.
So small, testable chunks.
Exactly. Matt Medeiros and others have warned asking for too much at once. You usually get code that's buggy, bloated, or just doesn't work. Keep prompts focused. Keep modules small and reusable.
And after each prompt delivers code,
Always test, even with AI. I can't stress this enough. AI code will have bugs. Write unit tests, Jest, Mocha, integration tests, end-to-end tests, Cypress, Playwright. Use AI to help generate tests if you want, but run them. Testing must be part of every single prompt cycle.
Non-negotiable. Okay, tests fail or the code looks weird. How do you debug effectively?
You need to review and debug actively. Don't just trust the output. Use the rubber duck method. Explain the code to yourself or even back to the AI. When you hit an error, copy-paste the code and the error message into GPT-4 or Claude and prompt. Fix this error and explain the cause. Keep a little log of tricky bugs and how you solved them.
Using the AI to help debug its own code, or code it generated anyway.
It could be surprisingly effective. And lean on AI for security checks, too. Use AI for security audits. Paste code snippets in and ask directly. Check this Node.js code for security flaws.
Right.
Or audit this SQL query for injection risks. Or look for XSS vulnerabilities in this React component.
As a first pass.
As a first pass, absolutely. Then augment it with proper SAS tools like SemGrep or SNCC in your CI/CD pipeline. Defense in depth.
We mentioned secrets before, but it's worth hitting again.
Absolutely. Handle secrets and environment variables securely. Use .env files. Add .env to your .jitignore immediately. Use platform features for secrets management, like in Vercel, Netlify, Replit. Double, triple check before deploying that no keys or passwords are accidentally exposed. It happens more than you think.
Okay. What about when your AI-built prototype starts getting real usage? How do you make it production-ready?
You have to treat prototypes like real software when needed. If it's more than just a quick demo, start adding professional practices. Set up CI/CD pipelines, GitHub Actions, CircleCI, etc. To automate testing and deployment even more critical with AI generating code frequently, containerize with Docker, write good readmes and technical docs, implement human code reviews via pull requests.
Basically, apply standard software engineering discipline.
Exactly. The AI helps you build faster, but the principles of building robust, maintainable software still apply.
And sometimes things just go wrong. The code gets messy.
It happens. And the advice here is simple. Don't be afraid to restart. Seriously. If a section of code becomes a tangled mess, overly complex, or just persistently buggy, don't keep layering fixes. Sometimes it's faster to save what you learned, identify the successful prompts, and just regenerate that module or section cleanly.
The low cost of AI generation makes restarting less painful.
Much less painful than hours of debugging a fundamentally flawed structure. Refactor or restart, be flexible.
Okay, last practice. How do you keep track of all this prompting and learning?
Yes. Document your prompts and outcomes. It sounds simple, but it's incredibly valuable. Keep a markdown file, a shared doc, whatever works. Log the prompt you use. Maybe paste a snippet of the key output and note any edits or fixes you had to make.
Why is that so helpful?
Reproducibility. If something worked well, you can reuse the prompt. It helps onboard new team members. It helps you refine your prompting skills over time. Teams can even build internal libraries of effective prompts for common tasks. It captures that crucial knowledge.
That makes a ton of sense. Build a knowledge base of what works.
Exactly.
So putting it all together, vibe coding isn't some far-off future thing. It's here. It's practical. It's scaling. Using AI to help build software is, well, it's rapidly just becoming how software is built.
It really is the emerging standard. Embracing it isn't just about staying current. It's about leveraging a massive acceleration in capability.
Which leads us to a final thought for you, the listener, to chew on. With AI generating so much code, reshaping the developers day to day, how do you think this will fundamentally change software engineering careers? What new roles might pop up? How will tech teams even be structured in, say, 5 or 10 years? Something to ponder.